men, of people, of lives, of souls. And Andrew began to see, goodness, this has been a great living, catching fish. But he's calling us to something so much greater, so much higher, that it exceeds any of these fishing experiences that we've had. And we all have big, tall tales to tell about fishing, right? The one that got away, you know. In Andrew's case, he gets a challenge by the Lord to say, fish for men. And that's what we see him doing from beginning to end. His occupation as an in-gatherer. First of all, let's talk about Andrew's conversion. So we a little bit about his character, but let's talk about how he came to know Christ. First of all, God used the testimony, the words of a respected associate in his life. His name was John. His name was John. John the Immerser. John the Baptist. We don't know all that went into the friendship between Andrew and John, but Andrew was so hungry for God and so curious about the Lord that he would go down to the Jordan River and watch and listen as John declared that the kingdom was changing, that the kingdom of God has arrived, and that the Lamb of God was here. It appears that Andrew was there the day that John the Baptist, in the Jordan River, saw the crowds kind of begin to part and saw from the hillside a man coming down that was his, so to speak, second cousin. His mom and Jesus' mom were cousins. So these two young men knew each other, and as Jesus makes his way down the bank and the crowds begin to part, John makes a statement that is revolutionary. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." I say God used a redemptive analogy. Okay? This picture of the Lamb that they'd been sacrificing lambs to look forward to the one coming Lamb of God. And now John says, "He's here. Today's the day." And as Jesus makes his way into the Jordan River and locks eyes with his cousin John, John says to him, "I'm not worthy of baptizing you. You're the Lamb of God. You're the Holy One we've been waiting for." And Jesus said, "Do it to fulfill all righteousness." He talked John, the immerser, into baptizing him. And you know what happened, right? You know the picture that God the Father gave him immediately as Jesus went into the water and he came up out of the water. It says the skies opened up and everyone on the shore could hear a voice booming from heaven. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." John's perking up, but Andrew is listening as well. Andrew, this fisherman, is getting to hear and see firsthand the sky open and God the Father declaring the sonship of Jesus. Now, one other small thing happened. The Holy Spirit, in a form like a dove, descended and rested on Jesus in the Jordan River. Amazing picture! Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit, all in one. First time we see it like that. Yeah. And who's peeking in? Who's got a front seat row? The Apostle Andrew, who's later going to be an apostle. The man, Andrew. The seeker, Andrew. And what strikes clear in his heart is, "I believe. I now have seen, I have found the Messiah." Now, what do you suppose he's supposed to do with that information? What do you suppose he's supposed to do that this newfound treasure that he's just discovered? Should he keep it to himself or let it roll? God used a We call it a relational approach, a web of relationships in both John's life, John the Immerser, but also in Andrew's life to begin to share and spread that. Now, you think about it for a minute. Let's say there's 2,000 people on the shore. I mean, that would be a generous account of this. We don't know how many. There could have been 50. Let's say there's 2,000. Do you think God wants to only let those 2,000 people in on the secret that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? You know, you kind of say, well, I'm not going to believe unless he does it for me. That's not the way God works, is it? It's through the testimony of the witnesses that the truth gets out. And he uses relational webs. He uses those circles of relationships that are around, in this case, around Andrew. And he causes more people to hear based on his testimony. So let's dig a little bit deeper as we talk about this. Now, before I go too far, I want to say that just as Andrew is going to be a model for us about reaching out, don't miss the fact that Andrew was accepting the truth for himself. For himself. God doesn't want us to miss the blessing ourselves just so that we can share with others. Okay? What is it that Andrew received? And if you're here as a explorer, as a seeker, as someone like Andrew maybe was on that shore that day, you need to hear real clearly, Jesus is the Christ. He loves you. He came to die for you. He came to save you from your sins. He wants to, just like that Lamb of God in that picture, he wants to wash away and pay for all the sins of your life so that you can stand before God clean, holy, and pure. Andrew could receive that. And folks, every person, the sound of my voice today can hear that, can receive that. And beyond that, every person you know, every person in your relational web, every person of influence that you have any influence over can also hear and believe. There is no one, not one single person, that's outside of the possibility. When he says, for God so loved the world, he meant it. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, this would be a perfect opportunity. By the way, I think we're going to have some baptisms coming up, maybe on Easter. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I need to receive Christ. I need to put him in my life. I need to be immersed, water baptized in him. Coming up, it's a great day for that, don't you think? Yeah. Well, what's Andrew do? First thing he does. He doesn't go back and mend nets. He doesn't go back and burn the boat. What's he do? Catch this. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I told you, almost every time we hear him, he's referred to as Simon Peter's brother. Here it is. Was one of those two who heard what John had said and who what? Had followed Jesus. Yeah. Because he was a follower of Christ. The first thing, underline that, would you? The first thing, the very first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon Peter, and tell him, hey, we have found the Messiah, who is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter. He kind of renamed him, didn't he? Yeah. A couple of things here. What's the priority for Andrew? First thing is share your love. Here's what I don't like. Our culture has tended to make too big of a gap between people who receive Christ and people who share Christ. Let me use an example. Arnie's brother, Dwight, down in California. Got involved in a church, seemed like a great church. He got involved in a discipleship program. In the process, he started to share his faith with someone. The leaders came to him and said, "Time out. Don't share your faith with anyone." He's like, "What? But I love Jesus. I want others to know about him." He says, "Once you go through these couple, 3 years, and you get done with that, then you'll be qualified to share your faith." I'm serious. So if you're coaching this Arnie's brother, Dwight, what would you say to him? How would you coach him? He's like, "I want to share my faith, but they're telling me not to." Now, I understand their concern about getting things right. But what's the scriptural example for us? All you got to be is one lesson ahead. You've heard me say that, right? What's the one lesson that Andrew had? He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't know all the details about him. He didn't have all the answers and all the blanks filled in, but he knew one thing, and he said, "Peter, guess what I found? I found the Messiah. Come on." You see what I mean? Now we're the same culture that says, and forgive me, Vicky and Dottie and some of you that are teachers, we say to teach kindergarten, you've got to have a master's degree. Now, and I'm not against education. I love education. I promote it, encourage it. It's great. But do you really think that our standard might be a little warped? Yeah? Do we really need, like 6 years of education on top of high school to teach kindergarten? Now, that's our, you know, codification, what's it called? Credentialization and those kind of things. I understand that, and I'm not against it. But when we translate that to the church, you got to be, you know, theologically trained in order to share. No way. Don't let Satan confuse you that way. All you've got to know is, do you love the Lord? Are you willing to let others in on the secret that you found in Christ? It's by the word of your testimony that the gospel is going to go forward. Now, let's just catch from that verse as you circle these words, maybe. The first thing he did, he said he found his brother. Now, we don't know where he was. But, I mean, there was an active participation finding his brother. He didn't just run across Peter. I mean, the scripture doesn't say that. He actively went to find his brother. Now, I'm going to encourage you today to not be passive about sharing with others, to actually fit into this mode of finding. Amen. You follow me on that? Actively being, what do you got to do to find? You've got to search for them. You've got to pursue them. Finding implies a seeking. Now, I got to ask you, are you like Andrew, this ordinary disciple? Who is it that you are seeking? Well, I'll leave that to Jesus. No, he didn't leave it to Jesus, did he? Well, we'll just let Jesus run across Peter. He didn't do that. What did he do? He sought him out. He went after him. Now, we make fun of this sometimes. Who's on your hit list? Who is it that you feel God's calling you to pursue, to find? Now, obviously we know the Lord is the one who finds people. But you know what he uses? Flesh and bone and blood like us. Mouths like ours. Mouths like Andrew's. In fact, the second thing, he told him. He opened his mouth. Now, you can say, well, I'm just going to live by example and hopefully people will catch it. Not a bad idea, but not a good one either. It's not a bad place to begin, but it's a bad place to stop. Okay? Yes, live in a modeled and exampled way that people will see. In fact, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. But there comes a point, just like with Andrew, we got to use the tongue. We got to use the mouth. We've got to tell why we're living the way we're living. We've got to tell the love that's in our heart for Jesus. That's what he did. He told him everything that was going on in his spiritual life. He told him that he'd found the Lord. The third thing, he brought him. Again, find, tell, and bring. How do you do that when you're in 2015? Jesus isn't down at the shore. Say, come follow me and let's go listen to him preach. Where do you bring people? What about the body of Christ? What about the body of Christ here on earth called the church? Could I encourage you? The third thing is to bring people. Now, it might be bringing them to a home group. It might be bringing people to Bill's, the walkers, talkers, gawkers, and stalkers. Bring them! You know, bring them to church, but bring them to the body of Christ, more importantly. It's not bring them to the building, because there's some people afraid of this building. I've had people tell me, the building will fall down if I go in. They feel that far away from God. Don't make that the criterion. You and your brothers and sisters can be the body of Christ wherever. Bring them, here would be the question, here would be the statement. Bring them into relationship with the body however you can. Whatever it takes. So like in that video, maybe the Harleys are a good idea. The whatever it takes kind of thing. So his procedure was to find, to tell, and to bring. What's yours? What's yours? Is there someone you need to find? Is there someone you need to open your mouth to and tell? Is there someone maybe you've been shining the light on for years that now it's the time to open up your mouth and let them know what the difference is in your life? I'm not going to take a lot of time with this, but just think about Jesus' process. The first words Jesus would say to people, come and see. Come and see. Come and hang. In fact, he said it before this encounter with Andrew. Come and see. You know, we ought to be doing that on a regular basis. Check it out. Come on, kick the tires. I'm finding some food here. Come to my home group. You'll like it. We have great meals. Oh, we also study, but come and check it out. Come and see. Too often, we don't follow the Lord's model of come and see. But he also brings us into an understanding. He talks about come and learn. Matthew 11, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeah. There's a sense in which he doesn't want us to just see from a distance. He wants us to come close and learn from him and learn as he models after us. You know, we don't like this one. Eventually, not right away, what's the phrase he says? Lay your life down. If you're going to be a true disciple of mine, he says, you will lose your life and thus find it. Take up your cross daily, he says, and follow me. He says, come and die. Now, most people are not ready for the third one until they've had the first and second one. You follow me on that? If you approach people, Jesus didn't. His first leading sentence was not, die, die, die. That was down the road. In fact, they were eventually begging him for the privilege. Following him long enough, almost all of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, died in the process of supporting their faith. You know? But they didn't start with that. Come and see, come and learn, come and die. Of course, you got this last one. Go and serve. You got the first words of Jesus, come and see, and the last words of Jesus, which are go and serve. And that's probably where we get stuck. Some of us are willing to go to number C. Yes, Lord, I'll die for you. But we're not willing to turn around and bring others in. Go, therefore, and make disciples. What was Jesus' last command? Make disciples of all the nations, teaching them everything I've taught you, that's the learning. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you, and I'm with you ever, forever, even to the end of the age. Jesus' first words and Jesus' last words, and what's in the middle? A lot of growth. Assess where you are at. You may be here today in that come and see mode, just checking things out. You may be in that mode of saying, I'm committed, I'm just learning. I'm digging in and learning how to grow. Maybe you're in that spot that says, it's becoming difficult, it's becoming painful. I'm actually laying my life down to follow and obey the Lord. Here's the question. Could you be asked today to turn around? Not just face the Lord, but to see who else it is that you need to bring, like Andrew did. Bring to the Lord and say, you come and see. That's what Andrew did. He said, Peter, come and see if this might not be the Messiah we've been waiting for thousands of years. Check it out. And Peter did. Here's the stat I just heard this week. 86% of Americans say this. If invited by a friend, I would attend church with them on Easter. Think about that for a minute. If you just say, come check it out. Come on with me. Let's worship for an hour or two. 86% of those that are unchurched in our community say they would attend if invited by what? A friend. Someone they're in relationship with. So what's the key there? Getting in relationship. Letting God use the web of relationships you have. Come and see. Remember the woman at the well. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man. A man who told me everything I ever did. He hadn't really told her everything she ever did, but he did tell her some very insightful items about her life, right? Could this be, the Messiah, I mean, she's asking questions along with them, saying, They came out of the town, they made their way to him, and it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the testimony of the woman. And he quotes what the testimony is. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, learning of him, letting him teach, letting him grow. And because of his words, many more believed. It started out believing because of the woman's words, but eventually they connected with Jesus. They connected with Christ. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is indeed the Savior of the world. You know what the Bible says? The entire town of Sychar was affected by this woman's testimony. Don't let anyone say to you, ladies, it's all about men. The first woman, or the first person to do an evangelization of a whole town is this woman. Yeah, yeah. And I think he did that for a reason. And it's not just a woman, it's a Samaritan woman. No matter what position, place, or race, it doesn't matter. God can use you. Let him use these steps through you. Tell somebody. Start with the beginning. Come and see. Use the body of Christ. Use the church as that starting off point. So Andrew's chief concern is starting with his family. Now let me encourage you. Start with the first circle of your relationships, your family. Now some of you might be saying, I haven't talked to her, someone from my family, for 2 years. Maybe God's calling you to change something there. Huh? Start with your family. What's neat about Andrew is he doesn't stop with his family. The next person he brings is a youth, is a lad, the Bible says. One of the pictures we get is Andrew reaching out to this youth. We call it the boy with the five loaves and the two fish, right? You know, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, once again, we got the description, the notoriety there, spoke up. Hey, Lord, here's a little boy. Here's a little boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far is that going to go among such a big group? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down, about 5,000 men. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Now here's another. The second picture of Andrew is really unique because Andrew sees how many people are there, and he sees a little lunch, but he still brings the boy to Jesus. Do you think already in Andrew's life he knows that if anyone is willing to yield what they've got to Jesus, massive, unprecedented things can happen? Do you think it's Andrew's spark of faith that's actually being used? Because he's not bringing this little boy there to humiliate him. But what happens to me, it shows by what happens, what was in Andrew's mind. Jesus could take this small little lunch, and because of the willingness to yield it, not only feed the 5,000, you know they picked up? 12 baskets full of leftovers. You know, and so Jesus doing this miracle all happened because of Andrew's willingness to take a little boy with a small lunch and bring him to Jesus. What did he do with Peter? Find, tell, and bring. As far as we know, this little boy, he found him, told him what Jesus was going to do, and he brought him. Perfect opportunity. Now, in this case, we have no clue that he knew this boy any in advance. We would consider him a stranger to some degree. How are you doing outside of your web of relationships at sharing Jesus, at letting others see the love you have for Christ and going beyond that? He brought the boy to Jesus. Andrew's also seen in bringing, I call them seekers, to Jesus. Greek individuals who, well, I'll read it. John 12:20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. So these were worshiping people seeking after God. They came to Philip, who was in Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And by the way, can I just say that that's a common need. That's a felt need in our community. People want to be introduced to the Savior of the world. They want to see Jesus. Now, there's lots of barriers to finding Jesus in our world, most of them erected by the church. Most of them erected by well-meaning Christians and individuals who place barriers unknowingly in front of people. Jesus just wants to be seen. He says, we would like to see Jesus. What did Philip do? He went to tell Andrew. And Andrew and Philip, in turn, brought them to Jesus. Now, I don't know all the details. We don't have all the insights here. But Philip relied on Andrew to help bring these folks to Jesus. This bringer and inviter and includer, Andrew, was used time after time after time. Not just with family, not even just with teens and youth, but in this case, with total seekers. Just people who needed to see the Lord. So here's my encouragement for us today. Would God cause us to be like Andrew, to use our lives like he did, to find, to tell, and to bring. In your handout this morning was a yellow insert. I'd like you to get that out if you would. I want to make a very, very specific and pointed application this morning. I would like to begin to build your hit list, your prayer list. I've got 7 slots that I'd like to ask you to prayerfully think about several individuals, up to 7. You need more than that, use the back. Individuals that you know need the Lord, or you know need the body of Christ, or you know need fellowship with his body. Who is it that you would put in a prayer mode to say, I will specifically pray for these individuals? As you think about that, look around where you live, where you work, where you go to school. That's your mission field. You're not Andrew, but you've got your web of relationships, and wherever they're at, look around and think about who God might be calling you to extend an invitation to. Who is it that needs Jesus? Would you commit to pray for the people on your list regularly? I'd say daily, if not more. Obviously, prayer is the key. So don't just look around, look up. Look up in prayer. God changes people through prayer. He changes you as the prayer, but he also changes people that you're praying for. God will act and soften hearts because of prayer that he doesn't do if we don't pray. Pray each and every day for those on your list. I say, look out for ways to cultivate friendship and relationship with those individuals. What could you do as you pray through the list? Is there someone you need to take to coffee? Is there someone you need to make a phone call to, send an email to, encourage in some way? What is it you need to do to cultivate a relationship with them? Don't preach, but listen. Eventually you'll have a chance to share, but just let listening open up the doors for you. Look forward. Look forward, because we were talking earlier today about what's coming up. God has given us this season of the year. I love Easter because there's really no reason for the celebration other than the resurrection of Jesus. You know? I mean, springing is good enough, but people dig deep enough, they're going to find there's a reason for this season even more than for Christmas. Begin to talk with each person on your list about what's coming up, the concert with Esterlin, the rock presentation on Palm Sunday. Use those as tools to invite and include and introduce to the body of Christ. If a small group is a better starting point, then invite them starting there. The last one is look after. Once someone attends, in fact, we're going to spend some time on that next week. What do you do when people show up? How do we as a body become infectious and contagious and including to people that we bring to show the Lord to each other? So, Chuck, before we do that, I've got an opportunity for the body. I'm going to play a song while you meditate on who it is God's calling you to reach. Okay? It's really called So I Can Share. Take time. And you'll notice in the bottom half of your yellow sheet, it says tear here. Once you get your list of however many, duplicate that, tear off the bottom, and let us as leaders, the Monday morning prayer team, the prayer team that Ron leads, all of our prayer warriors, to pray. Not about last names, but just first names of those you are asking God to use you to reach. I want to encourage you, put it in this prayer request container during this time. Send it forward. Let someone else help you if you need help bringing that. Let's make this a prayer time for what God wants to do in that regard. If you've got some writing already done, some people that you've put down, let's just keep in a kind of a prayer mode, and the team's going to lead us in a song. Maybe just place your hand on that card as we just take some time and pray right now. Lord, Andrew is such a powerful example to us of an ordinary man who who is used in extraordinary ways by you. Lord, would you use us as ordinary individuals in the body of Christ here? Would you show us exactly who it is that you're calling us to reach, just like Peter was reached by Andrew? Would you show us the Peters in our lives that you're calling us to reach? Would you show us the young boys with fish and bread that you want us to reach? Would you show us Samaritan women that are sitting on wells needing to hear about you? Would you show us seekers that are hungry to see Jesus? And would you use the body of Christ at Capital Vision to harvest for you, to net fish together and bring in people that they would see the love of Jesus? Lord, we dedicate ourselves this week, today, in the future, the coming weeks, to this list, these people that you're calling us to reach for you. We pray it in Jesus' name.